Good evening and welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. In March of 1970, 19-year-old Linda Wolf was just getting started as a rock photographer. She was living in Hollywood documenting the all-girl rock band Fanny. A musician friend needed a ride to the A&M soundstage, where rehearsals were starting for a new band fronted by Joe Cocker. The band was getting ready for a 48-city tour as Joe Cocker, Mad Dogs, and Englishmen. 25 incredible musicians and singers, including Leon Russell and Rita Coolidge, were on stage practicing the song Space Captain. Linda was immediately swept away and determined to join this tour. She was introduced to producer Denny Cordell and told him, "I want to go." "What can you do?" he asked her. She said she could be the photographer, but had nothing to show him of her work. As luck would have it, she was able to borrow a camera from the drummer and found a dark room she could use nearby. She snapped and developed photos of the rehearsal and was hired. And on March 19, 1970, Linda joined 43 band members and boarded the infamous Cocker Power Jet. Linda Wolf has just released a memory book commemorating this legendary tour. The book features 150 never-before-published historic and iconic photographs and intimate quotes from members of the tour. I spoke with Linda earlier this week by phone. Here she describes the beginning of her career as a photographer and how the Joe Cocker Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour was unique.
I don't know that I really became serious about my photography until we got on the road. I was serious about it, but it was just sort of my way to belong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was my job, my role, I took it up wholeheartedly. I have 4,000 negatives, a lot of them blurry, but who cares?
Right.
It was one amalgamous pod of people, each doing their part. And so it wasn't like today's music scene where, you know, it's just so different. And with Joe and Leon leading it, the vibe and the feeling was all honoring everybody's part in the whole, not just isolating out the stars.
Right.
As we have filtered out the stars. Nobody was a star at that time, except for Joe, maybe.
Right. When you look at the photos, it almost made me sad because there was such a, like, just like, rawness and realness in the people and in the music at that time that I feel like is just missing from music today.
Well, right. I met up with Taj Mahal a couple of nights ago. He plays here in Seattle for a couple weeks at Jazz Alley every year. And this, I haven't seen him in 45 years. And I went backstage and gave him a copy of the book. And he was floored because, number one, all these people were his pals.
Yeah.
And he lived at a place called The Plantation out in the San Fernando Valley, which we went to en masse right before the Cocker tour took off. When some other people walked in the room and saw that he was looking at the book, he said this was a completely different time.
Mm-hmm.
It was an unusual time out of time those years.
It seemed like there was a lot more freedom expressed in these photographs. And you had a lot of freedom on this tour to take pictures whenever and wherever you want. It was very all access. And it looks like, you know, you were there for some really intense moments, you know, playful times as well. How do you think freedom like that contributes to art?
It must be there if people are ever going to get a chance to reach into their souls and deliver for themselves and others a soulful expression.
In the beginning of the book, you dedicate it to all the lovers of life, wisdom seekers, heart grievers, lotus eaters, activists, nature lovers, harlequins, musicians, poets, parents and kids, and all us mad dogs and wild women, especially Joe Cocker. Can you tell me about some of the people that you're referring to here?
When you have that freedom, in you, and you're throwing everything to the wind in order to maintain that and to go against the interdictions to control oneself. And you let flight happen within you, such as all of the names you mentioned, poets and harlequins and, you know, whirling dervishes and soul singers. You know, it touches other people's souls in ways that I consider and many consider to be the greatest art of all, which is sound and music. And whether it be through words or song or the sound of one's feet on the floor, I mean, it reaches into our souls, and that's what we're longing for in everything. We're longing for that. And Joe was able to do that with his whole person, his voice, his movements, his whole being was filled with an uninhibited quality of art. You know, I mean, he was ridiculed from time to time and made fun of, especially by John Belushi, which I think hurt him, even though he had a finely tuned defense mechanism for himself. I don't think he enjoyed being mimicked. And he was also such, you know, he was a person in great pain for a long time in his life until he met his beautiful wife, Pam. And so, you know, and developed a life outside of the one that was so painful for him. But I would say, if you're talking about who I dedicate that book to, it's to all of us who have that capacity to unbridle ourselves and not be afraid of judgment and criticism and ridicule and rejection for the truth that's inside of us, this longing to be expressed.
You celebrate Leon Russell quite a bit in this book too, and there's a quote where you say about him that he was the most majestic master of space and time. Why do you describe him that way?
Well, he called himself master of space and time. That was his moniker. In my opinion, and this is only my opinion, Joe was the heart and soul of that tour. And Leon was the overarching conductor of the energy and the music and the conductor of the activities that went on stage, because everyone, including me, looked to him, and he had the eyes to look out over everyone and have it all within his purview of what was going on stage. So he conducted us.
If you're traveling to the long country fair, where the wind hits heavy on the borderline, remember me to the one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. See for me, she you have the cold so warm.
Well, of course I'm.
To keep her from your howling wind.
Together, my love.
So if you
traveling in the cold country far,
well,
whether we get head on the bottom line, Leon, the whole band, it's really good to see you again.
And if you're just joining us, I have Linda Wolf on the phone. She is the author and photographer for the Joe Cocker Mad Dogs and Englishman Memory book, which chronicles the 1970 tour. If you look through the book, the 43 people who were on this tour, I just fell in love with them, even if it was just one or two photographs of some of them. There were kids on this tour. There were, pets. It was like one big giant family. Have you kept in touch with any of the kids?
Yes, I have. Barney Cordell and Tarka Cordell were the two children on the tour. And then there was Sean Brown, Carla Brown's son, and Carla was Leon's girlfriend for a long, long time, and they also had a child together, Blue. Sadly, Tarka Cordell committed suicide a few years back, a very talented musician, a very troubled man, and his brother Barney and I are in touch all the time. I left. When I came home from the tour, I was pretty sick. As I say, I was the youngest member by one of the tour, and I did everything that everybody else did and was naive about certain things and came home needing to recuperate. I went to my parents' house. I was 20 years old. I spent the summer in Sherman Oaks and hung out in Big Sur. I don't know where Joe went at that point, but my parents sent me to France. They were worried about me, and they suggested I go back to school. Mm-hmm. So I spent nearly 5 years in France, and during that time, my focus was on photographing real people in the villages of the south of France, and I really didn't maintain much connection with anyone from the Cocker Tour. Mainly I just went back to being a human being, because it was pretty much outside the realm of being a human being, that whole experience. It was art, music, free-for-all, circus,
right,
24/7.
So recently there was a tribute to Joe Cocker featuring the Tedeschi Trucks Band and many others at the Laughlin Festival. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Derek Trucks saw the Mad Dogs and Englishmen film, as many people did, and he fell in love with the whole idea of Mad Dogs and Englishmen. He was very influenced by our music and our tour. And when he and Susan Tedeschi, who he married and who married him, decided that they were going to drop their individual bands and create one band together, they were really excited to base their band on the Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour conglomeration of musicians. They thought, why don't we get in touch with Joe and do a tribute to Mad Dogs and Englishmen with Joe? So that was like 2013. And Joe was really into it. he wanted to do it. So Tedeschi Trucks Band learned all the songs from the tour, and they got ready to do it in 2014. But unfortunately, Joe's cancer, you know, worsened, and they were told, listen, maybe next year, but right now is not a good time. And of course, next year never happened. So they were terribly disappointed, of course, and very sad, and thought, well, how can we take all of this work that we've done to learn all these songs and honor Joe in the process, and contacted Leon. And Leon said yes, he would be part of it. And then the producer, Dave Fry, of the Lock-In Festival, and Derek and Susan decided, why not bring together all the alumni who are living and who can come and do the thing up right. So then when I found out that they were going to bring the alumni back, Dave said, we're bringing you in, too, as the official photographer. And I said, oh, my God.
That's so cool.
So it just unfolded. And we all had the complete freedom again. I had complete freedom. I mean, I didn't crawl on the stage this time and sit underneath Derek and Susan and take pictures. But I had the freedom to be part of the show, which
right.
is what I was. You know, Leon set us all up to be part of the show. We were, you know, we were a traveling circus. And the, you know, the kids and the jugglers and the lady, the fat lady with the tambourine, you know, and the photographers, we were all doing our acrobatics on stage. I loved Joe. We all loved Joe. Everyone. I mean, Leon had his issues, and Joe had his issues with Leon, but that was all let go of at Lock-In.
You're tuned in to an interview with Linda Wolf, author and photographer for the Joe Cocker Mad Dogs and Englishmen memory book. Here Linda describes the importance of the song Space Captain, which the whole ensemble performed on the tour.
That was one of the most important messages that we wanted to give in our music. Everyone's holding hands and being very together in that one. We're all learning to live together. We're all learning to live together here. So that I think is primary. And we're still trying to learn to be together here with all of the pain in the world today. And especially right now with climate catastrophe conference.
Mm-hmm.
We need to learn to live together with life on this planet. Our atmosphere, it's a living place, you know, it's life.
Yeah, it's pretty important to figure this out pretty quick.
Right. We must, or else we'll be considered very large mammals with really no brains, no matter how much we have done to help each other through polio and vaccines and science and all the rest, art included, if we don't take seriously the reality that we need to nurture life, that's critical. So we're all learning to live together is a very huge message.
Matthew Moore's song. Remember the name, Matthew Moore? It's called Space Captain. Close by. Thanks a lot. That's what we're about. That's very good of you, really.
You're tuned in to an interview with Linda Wolf, author and photographer for the Joe Cocker Mad Dogs and Englishmen memory book. The very last photograph in the book was taken at a Leon Russell concert at Anaheim Stadium in 1970. It's one of the best crowd shots I've ever seen.
I really love that shot. It's very historic. If you look at it, you can find so much history in that shot. What's really amazing in that picture is when you own the picture or you have the poster and you look at it over a long period of time, you find the Vietnam veterans in their wheelchairs.
Mm.
You find the people doing garage band recordings. You find somebody toking up. You find one woman out of the whole crowd of all those people who is from the other generation. And she looks like she's thinking to herself, what is going on here? And how did I get here? And it's like right behind her is the way forward, you know? And
she's just
stunned. And I wonder what happened. I'd love to know what happened to her.
Yeah.
She's as much a star of that photo as the woman.
Right.
With the arms raised in glory, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely one of those photos you could look at for like hours because you're gonna see different people and different expressions, and it's very cool. There's one guy that looks like he's dressed as a clown.
Oh yeah, there are a couple clowns.
Yeah, it's just great. What do you hold dear to you about that time, the tour that you took in 1970, and what do you think you've carried with you that you sort of cherish the most?
One of the most important words that comes to me is a sense of belonging. And we all want to belong. We all want to feel that we're part of, that we're not separate from. And from the minute I arrived on that soundstage at A&M, that's what I felt. I felt I belonged. And at Lock-In, I felt I belonged. And that feeling of belonging, to have had that on such a mass level with an audience, because the audience, Leon would often have the lights turned on in the audience. And the reason being is that it didn't separate us. It didn't make us the people on stage and the people in the audience. It brought us all together. And that's what an audience wants to feel. Is that they belong. That's what anyone wants to feel, is that we belong together and that we're all together making this energetic experience happen. And so to have had that on such an enormous level as a 19, 20-year-old, that carried me throughout my whole life. And it made me who I am today. I mean, it contributed to who I am today. I run a nonprofit that I thought I was going to do for 10 weeks. It's now in its 21st year, from a book that I wrote for teen girls about this whole subject. It's a book that I put together with a colleague, but really it's the teen girls who wrote it because we brought them together in a girls' talking circle, a closed circle for 2 years where they could become each other's friends and supporters and sisters and allies and be real and belong and know that no matter what they were going through, they were accepted and not rejected and held. And these were girls, very different girls, from the popular girls to the unpopular girls. And they learned to have compassion for each other's experience and to experience each other's perspectives on life and to feel each other's pain and longings and yearnings and joys and share in them, have each other's backs. And that filtered into their schools and their families and everything and created a nonprofit organization out of the book that we wrote about the experience. And so, you know, I wanted so badly to give that away that feeling that I had of being expressed, of being able to share myself fully, of not being tethered or inhibited by a business, of music at the time, or by people's impressions or judgments. I mean, basically, we were given freedom, and I wanted to do that through the rest of my life for other people, especially teenagers and young people.
To find out more about Linda Wolf and where you can get a copy of the Joe Cocker Mad Dogs and Englishmen memory book, visit lindawolf.net. This program is dedicated to all the people out there whose lives were touched by Joe Cocker. He passed away nearly a year ago on December 22, 2014. We miss him. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Thank you for tuning into Talkin' Music on KVNF.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you say I'm gonna get high. Tell no insane no more.
I will help
my friend. Gonna get out of my friend.
I will help my friend.
Yeah, yeah. It happens all the time, yeah.
What do you see when you turn out the light?
I can't tell you, but it sure feels like
mine.
Don't you know I'm gonna make it with my friends? I promised myself I'd get by. Said I'm gonna try it with. I'm gonna make a title, oh no. Gonna get.
Bobby, my friend. Oh, I'm gonna get on back. Yes, I'm gonna get on back. I'm gonna take them all along. I'm gonna take them all along.